welcome to another fine MES, the European Securitization Podcast. I am Victoria Thiele, CLO reporter at Global Capital, and your host for today, since Tom Lemon had the audacity to take some time off and is probably on a golf course, leaving me behind to slave away together with our ABS reporter, George Smith. Hi, George.
Hello, Victoria.
You also had a day off this week, on Monday, I think. Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, 2 days off on Monday and Tuesday.
2 days? Oh, God. Yeah, true. Sorry. Did you do anything on your 2 days off?
I didn't do loads of things. I've got about halfway through building a cart, so that's kind of an IKEA assembly that I was waiting.
A cot or a cart?
A cot, C-O-T.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
Still waiting to be finished off. Because we were going up from the infant 6 month cot now to the full size 6 to 3 year cot.
Damn, so that's like a permanent fixture in your household for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I'm glad you made such personal progress in your life, because while you're away, I was covering ABS for like a day or two alongside CLOs, and I, you know, naively, innocently opened my laptop in the morning being like, oh, let's see what's going on, and then I got pummeled with IPTs, like left, right, and center. There were like, what, 5 deals launched? And then I stopped following them because I got busy. So I'm actually, this is my chance to actually hear about what happened in the market as well. But I think the most exciting one is probably that we're seeing the drop being priced.
We did indeed see the drop. This is for any first-time listeners, this is from Nationwide. It's the stock and drop plan to speed up RMBS issuance, and this was the first drop. And not only was the original deal obviously honoured in our securitization awards for being innovative deal of the year, the drop was also honoured with a cartoon, and quite a good cartoon at that, I thought.
It was a good cartoon. Everybody go look at it.
And justified, because it went well. Priced tight, probably. I think it was maybe the tightest pricing for a 5-year UK RMBS tranche, which tends to be, I think, the slightly shallower part of the market in investors versus a 3-year. Not by much. I mean, both tend to go down well. And it got inside 50 basis points, so good deal.
All right, that's pretty cool. Does that mean now everybody's going to do stock and drop going?
I'm not quite sure about that, but you know, definitely this going well is a good sign. I think it will be interesting to see what happens if conditions are more tricky, because one of the things Nationwide need to do is show that the investors who do the work on these deals are, particularly if they do it in advance, like not wasting their time, like these deals are going to come, they're going to be marketed in the way that Nationwide says they will be.
But I also remember that there was a bunch of like German autos and Sterling issuance, so what else was happening in the market this
we
week?
Did have 2 German autos. They went well. I wrote quite a long story about both of them. They're from Bank 11 and RCI Bank. I mean, they're not quite the top names in German autos, but they are pretty, they're kind of, you know, just outside your BMW, particularly the RCI Bank, just outside the kind of BMW, the Volkswagen and the Mercedes shelves. So yeah, also good deals, also went down well. Bank 11, it was their first time offering MES publicly. They did pre-place a Class B note last year. And then we also had New Day, which I haven't finished writing about yet. Maybe that will come.
The credit card one, right?
Yeah, New Day is a UK credit card lender. You know, that's another, it's a master trust deal, but it's got loads of MES on offer. All went down very well as well. I will write one more story about that possibly today as we record on Friday, or maybe on Monday.
Right, so by the time this graces the ears of our beloved listeners, it's probably going to be there. You should, straight after listening to this, head over to Global Capital and read this story. But I mean, just like seeing from a journalist perspective how much work it is to keep up with it. Do investors have time to look at all those deals?
Yeah, do we have time? Yeah, well, they have even more to do than us because they need a day of due diligence on every deal. Maybe they just about do. It's probably a bit of a stretch, particularly if you're doing things on the private side. I mean, well, I spoke to one banker earlier this week, said he'd only had one investor miss out because of time on a deal he was running. But I think it doesn't really, like, from the ex deal execution perspective, if you're not looking for every basis point of spread, it doesn't matter loads at the moment because there's just so much demand. Particularly, like, asset managers increasing their orders in the seniors, which is where the real kind of, if there is execution risk, it's in the seniors at the moment. Maybe not every investor looks at every deal, but I think deals still get done easily.
Yeah, though I feel like for the past like 2, 3 weeks, maybe we were talking about how just the every deal got massively oversubscribed, and there's just people are just dying for some issuance, and like hoovering it up. And now that we've seen a few weeks of like quite busy issuance, do you think that that demand is going to slow down going forward?
Yeah, it probably will at some point. I mean, as I wrote, it's more about time than investors running out of cash at the moment, but it could, particularly maybe kind of asset class by asset class, investors could fill up in, say, autos if there's a lot of supply there. But we did have a quiet February, and as you referred to, so there's plenty of kind of resources left from that at the moment. I think whatever happens, there's not a massive amount of room for further spread tightening, just because I think we've kind of found the level where investors are happy, and so you may see deals start slightly outside that and tighten from their IPTs, but they're all ending up at the same point that they would have, whether they started from there or they got some momentum in the book and started a bit wider.
Well, thank you, George. And for anybody who wants to read all the details on the latest in the market, the weekly story, sort of the big story of the week that George wrote, is called Investors Short on Time, Not Cash, as European ABS Issuance Booms.
Yes, and indeed it is. What were you getting up to other than doing my job for me while I was on holiday?
I was at a conference this week. I always it's, they're all like called the same thing, but I think this one was officially named the European CLO Forum 2024. It was the one at the Hilton Hotel in Wednesday, and I think the only big CLO conference this week. So like people will know what I talk about. So that was my Wednesday. That was quite fun.
Anything interesting come out of it?
Yeah, I feel like so that there were like two little things that stood out to me. One is maybe not like breaking news, but I feel like people are increasingly sort of actively processing it, if that's the right word. So there's quite a bit of talk about the equity returns on deals that were priced in like late 2022, early 2023, when the ARB was uniquely terrible, even worse than always. And it was really hard to find any third party equity, and people were really struggling. And I feel like now it's just emerging how well these deals actually performed on the equity. Like Fidelity did that reissue, I think last week, where they decided not to reset the deal, but to actually crystallize just those amazing equity returns, and sort of have them like written down somewhere as their track record. And I feel like there's just a little bit. I don't know if we can actually learn anything from it because it was such an exceptional time in the market, but I feel like people are just sort of verbally processing that actually everybody who does hold equity from those deals did make a killing. And maybe it was a bit like external equity investors are now maybe realizing that that was quite a big missed opportunity that they didn't invest. So in like a hypothetical future scenario that might be similar, it would maybe be interesting how people behave in that one. So that's sort of one thing that I feel like came up on a few panels, and then also whenever I chatted to people in the breaks, they were like, yeah, actually that was interesting.
And what was the other thing you were going to bring up?
Oh yeah, because I said there were two things. The other thing is maybe a little bit niche, but on one panel, an investor briefly mentioned the potential of European ETFs, CLO ETFs. Of course, they're sort of booming massively in the US and getting a lot of inflows. And like, it wasn't like discussed in depth, but there was the other thing that then people afterwards came up to me and were like, that was really interesting. Like, we should look into that. And everybody who had the thought, you're in luck, because as it happens, I was way ahead of the trend and wrote a piece about CLO ETFs in October, and sort of that went in a little bit into what the challenges are. So if anybody's interested in that article, or just like to chat about ETFs, because like it seems like that's quite an interesting topic, because it could open up like a big additional sort of investor base, maybe not only retail investors, but apparently what was said that in the US it's also working really well for like small insurance firms, small pension funds, maybe family offices who don't really have the infrastructure or manpower to become like a full scale CLO investor, but that gives them access. So yeah, really interesting. So DM me on LinkedIn or send me an email or something if you want to talk about it, or if you want to read that article.
I think that article was the one with the picture of the pig, wasn't
It was with the picture of the pig,
it?
because like my whole thing was like, I think it was called something like asset manager, European asset managers sniff out potential, and then I was like, truffle pigs. So yeah, that was the article with the pig. Oh, there was one. Sorry, this is now. this is me being ridiculous. But one thing that stood out to me personally at this conference was that somebody came up to me and commented on the outfit I wore at our award ceremony last week, which you know was very nice, because you think you're like working in this market. It's full of men. It's full of men who really like complicated maths. So you don't really expect it, but then suddenly a rating agency guy materializes next to you and is like, "I noticed your boots last week." And I think he's a regular listener, so it was appreciated.
Always good to kind of be able to relay these things. You did do some writing this week, I
Yeah,
believe. What's
a little
been
bit.
happening in the actual CLO market?
Well, I think I did kind of the opposite of what you did, where you were like spreading yourself thin across like 700 million deals. I was just hyper focused on one. Because Arini priced its second ever CLO. They're a debut manager who, yeah, issued their first deal last November. I wrote about it at the time. And well, it just came at very, very tight spread, I felt, when I sort of opened that email this week, and then I immediately got on the phone and asked everybody I know in the market, like, sort of, what happened there? Why is that so tight? And it was really fun to write about it, because as managers, they seem like people have unusually strong feelings about them. You know, like, not that our market is boring or anything, but our deals tend to be fairly similar. The managing strategies tend to be fairly similar, because there's just not enough loans to like do a lot of variety. But with this one, it's like some people genuinely are really excited about them. One investor I spoke to who participated in their deals sort of somewhere in the mezz, even though they normally don't invest in debut managers, apparently compared them to Spire, which for anyone who's not familiar with the CLO manager landscape, Spire is this relatively small independent manager who has this quite strong reputation. And was one of the only people who actually managed to get some third-party equity on a deal last year. So somebody was being like, well, it could be the new Spire, which, you know, would be pretty big, sort of big steps to fill.
Yeah, and so do you think they are the new spy on?
I think they're definitely doing something right on sort of telling their story to investors. And you know, especially like on the mezz tranches, I only refer to the AAA pricing that was relatively tight, but actually some of the mezz tranches came in tighter than some established managers right now. So I think they are definitely doing something right. It's going to be really interesting to see where they go. But to be honest, I spent like a few days talking about them, and I was having so much fun. It was so interesting to actually have people show some emotion in this market, and then sort of at the end of it, I was almost a bit disappointed to come to the realization that probably a lot of this tight pricing is also down to market dynamics. I posted, I sort of wrote a little article on Monday where I had just spoken to people who were like, oh yeah, that was remarkable. Or one investor was like, it's horrendous that somebody should price this tight. Is there so new? And I posted that on LinkedIn just being like, you know, strong reaction, still sort of trying to figure out what's going on. And then a couple of people like got into my DMs to lecture me, being like, I'm surprised that the market is so surprised. Like, people are surprised to not be working in this market. So genuinely thank you for that. Like, I really appreciate people like getting into my DMs and telling me what I got wrong. So love it. And then the sort of with some more conversations, I wrote a bigger piece on Thursday.
So, manager tiering is dead.
I still have hopes that it's not completely, but yeah, I think it might be a return to sort of Europe pricing relatively uniformly as they used to do. So sort of until mid 2022, Europe was quite known for just moving as one. It's way more important when you price, like if you're a manager, like when you price a deal is way more important than who you are. So if you do it in January, maybe you price tighter, and then 3 months later, maybe sentiment has turned against the CLO market a bit, and then you price wider. But yeah, and then last year, for like maybe the last 2 years, we saw this a greater price dispersion appearing, but it was also a much more difficult market. It was just really difficult in general for people to get AAA investors, alongside getting equity. So yeah, it might be that that was more of the exception rather than actually a sign of like a vastly maturing market. I don't know, I might be wrong. People feel free to shout at me in my LinkedIn DMs. But I think right now there's just a lot of demand for triple A's especially. There's people like new budgets are still coming online for investors. There's amortizations of old CLOs that especially on the triple A tranches what just washes some money back into investor pockets, and then they're just redeploying it. And yeah, there's still some sort of new investors coming in. So just like a really good dynamic in terms of demand and supply for CLO triple A's right now. So there's probably just a bit of a lower risk premium right now for new managers. I think sort of like small supporting factors that Sona, who's another debut issuer, priced within like a few days of Arini last year, like similar spread. I think Arini was 190, Sona was 185, but they're like way higher par subordination. And Sona is now also marketing the triple A's at 150 to 155 base points. So again, just slightly outside where like the KKRs and sort of big other managers of this world, like the really established ones with good reputations, are marketing. So yeah, I think there was probably a very like a big element of market conditions in the Arini pricing, but it was still really interesting. And I think like I still think like that doesn't take away from that being an interesting manager story, that I think people will be keeping a close eye on their performance. So who knows, maybe in 3 years I write an article about how they were the new Spire.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Victoria, for that. I read that article in bed this morning, and it was quite a compelling read. And if you also want to read it, it is called "Arini Notches Remarkable Print on Manager Merit, but also Market Rally."
It's yeah, and it's I think just like Sunday morning in bed over coffee is just the perfect time to read it. That was a Friday. Anyway, that is it from us this week. And yeah, pleasure as always. Email us if you have any remarks or questions or want to be a guest on this podcast or, I don't know, have anything else to say to us. We do take outward compliments. Our email addresses all work the same way. It's victoria.thiele@globalcapital.com, george.smith, or tom.lemon if you want to talk to him in his absence. And yeah, with that, we will leave you for this week. See you soon, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
What?